All right. So diving into a new series, beginning of the year. And we had a great Advent series or season here. And a lot of people, you know, you spend a lot of time looking forward to that. And hopefully it was everything that you hoped and wanted it to be. But we're moving on. So here's what you need to know. It is 91 days to Easter. Okay. The countdown is on. Some of you count down to Christmas. I count down to Easter. So I'll keep you posted. But Easter's coming, and we're excited. I'm excited. You'll get there. So we're going to begin this year with a journey into the concept of wisdom, specifically godly wisdom. And we're going to circle back to this theme throughout the year. This will be kind of our theme for the year, is growing in wisdom. I want to grow in wisdom. My guess is that you do too, that you like the idea of being wiser than you were, right? Because we can kind of look back and go, I haven't always been so wise. We're even more excited about people around us growing in wisdom. Wouldn't you say that? Like, oh, yes, definitely. I would love for, and you can fill in the blank with a name, to grow in wisdom. If you're a parent, you just named all your kids. You're like, I would love for them to grow in wisdom this year. So there are people praying for you guys. Do you guys need another row? You're kind of smashed in there. There's a whole row up here in the front. You okay? Now you're good? You like that? All right. So here's the issue, though. Like, sometimes we think wisdom is just going to happen. It'll just happen to me when I get older. Do you guys think that? Do you think, like, when I get older, I'll be wise? Now's not the time for wisdom. Now's my time to be foolish, right? No? Maybe? Hopefully not. Your parents are like, please say wisdom. Okay, so we think that it just comes as we age. Like, if you're older, then you're wiser. Because experience leads to wisdom, right? No. Unfortunately, it's not actually true. And you know this, because you have made the same mistake more than once, haven't you? If wisdom was based on experience, we wouldn't do that. We wouldn't make the same mistake twice. But you've done it. I've done it. I continue to eat ice cream at 9 p.m. This is bad for my body. Like, it's not good. I continue to do it. That experience hasn't led to wisdom for me. So it's evaluated experience that leads to wisdom. If we don't evaluate our experiences and determine, like, okay, what were the results of this? Does this lead to something better or not? Then the experience doesn't do us any good. There are a lot of old fools walking around because not everybody learns from all their experiences. So if wisdom doesn't just happen, then that means I have to do something to get it, to grow in wisdom. And so that's what we're going to talk about. Where would we turn to grow in wisdom? Well, since we're in church, the church answer is Jesus, right? Or the Bible. So we're going to turn to the Bible to grow in wisdom. I like this mug that Matthew sent me a picture of. He didn't give me the actual mug, but just a picture of it. So thanks, Matthew. The Bible is a book of, and you can see what's crossed out there, rules. That's how I kind of used to think of the Bible when I was a kid. It's just a bunch of do this, don't do that. No, it's a book of wisdom. It's a book of wisdom. It doesn't just talk about wisdom and teach us what wisdom is. It is wisdom. I'll explain that here in a little bit. But Scripture is our source for growing in wisdom because all wisdom comes from God. So let's try to define wisdom. What is it? What does it look like when you see it in action? And I think we often think of this as kind of like an intellectual exercise. Well, wisdom is like knowing things, being smart about certain things. That's wisdom. The word has actually evolved. The definitions have evolved over time, like most words do. So if you asked an ancient Hebrew to define wisdom, they would give you one answer. If you asked a first century Christian, they would give you a little bit of a different answer. And if you asked a modern day Christian, they might give a different answer yet. So we're going to be in Hebrew scriptures today, the Old Testament. And so we're going to start with the ancient Hebrew definition of wisdom. And the way that wisdom was talked about in the Old Testament, it was a high level of skill. So we see this in when God gives the instructions for the tabernacle. Some of this is your favorite part of Scripture. When God goes through all the details about what the tabernacle is supposed to look like, the length and width and height and weight of everything. God gave this man wisdom. I think it was Bezalel. I'll get help later from that on that one. But God gave him wisdom so that he could build the tabernacle. Like, that was the wisdom that he got, was this skill in creating and designing this art and this structure. So they thought of it as a a skill, something that you just do really well because God has blessed you with that gift. And so when I think about people who are wise by that definition, I mean, there are some definite people who come to mind. I have some people that I turn to for certain expertise in some areas. I have two Jasons in my life that are good for this. So if I need some help with like my finances, like help me with my financial plan and thinking about the future, I go to Jason Ayers. He's really good at that stuff. And he's that's his wisdom. That's his skill. That's him in action. Doing wisdom. And if I have a problem with my car, I go to Jason Force. This is another wisdom is like his skill at being, he could take an engine apart and put it back together. And so you need some Jasons in your life, by the way. It's like, who is it that you know that has this skill that they're just better at it than you, and that's who you turn to? That's wisdom, according to the ancient Hebrew definition. And so if that's what wisdom is, then when scripture talks about wisdom, when we read this in Proverbs about pursuing wisdom, then what is it that we're pursuing to be good at? What is it that we're trying to get better at? What is the skill that we really need in life? And I think it's this. I think what God wants for us, and when we're encouraged to pursue wisdom, it's this. We are looking to be empowered to know and do what's best. That's wisdom. I'm empowered to know and do what's best. We got to put those two things together because sometimes we know and we don't do, right? You had that experience? We don't like to tell those stories because they're embarrassing, but I'll just go for it. So about 6 months ago, I bought a truck. Loved it. I mean, I was excited about it. It was a great truck. I took my son with me because he was going to be driving it, and he loved it. And it was exactly what we were looking for. We bought this truck from a used car dealer. Whenever you buy a used car, you should always get it inspected first, right? Always. That's the wise thing to do. That's not what I did, right? I got excited. I looked around. It looked fine. It looked great. And so we didn't get it inspected, and we bought it. We found out about 6 weeks later that there's so much rust on the frame. I had two different mechanics tell me, do not drive this truck. The frame's gonna break. And so now I own a truck that I can't drive. I can't get anyone to help me fix it. And I can't sell it because that would be mean, right? So that is a moment when I knew the wise thing to do, but I kind of just got caught up in the moment and I didn't do the wise thing. Jason Ayers would be very disappointed in me. We've got to put these two things together. If we know, we have to do. But sometimes we don't actually know. And so this is what we want to grow. We want to grow in our ability of being empowered to know and do what's best. What's best? So how do we define what's best? How do we define this wisdom? Well, we start with godly wisdom, divine wisdom. And God's wisdom is actually available to us because we can see it at work in Scripture. So God's wisdom is seen when we see God's nature and will expressed through his activity, okay? God's nature and will expressed through his activity, that's divine wisdom. That's God knowing and doing what's best, always. God is good, perfectly, he's holy. So he always knows and does what is best. So if we look at God's activity, we see his nature and his will, and then we have this open door, this invitation to grow in wisdom. And scripture talks about this quite a bit. Psalm 104:24 says, how many are your works, Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. So the psalmist looks at creation and says, look how wise God is. This is God's wisdom on display when we see creation. And then we get this from the passage that Michelle read earlier, Proverbs 8:22. We're gonna go through this again. And let me clarify a couple things about Proverbs. One is the first 9-10 chapters talk a lot about wisdom, and they personify wisdom as a woman. And so you will hear this voice speaking, and it is the woman wisdom, Lady Wisdom. And that's what's happening in this passage. The second thing we need to remember about Proverbs is that it approaches wisdom from a certain perspective. It's a very like foundational principle kind of thing. And so if you could sum up like, you know, you get from chapters 11 on, you get all these pithy sayings, you know, the Proverbs. And if you could sum all that up, it would say, if you're wise, good things happen. And if you're foolish, bad things happen. That's kind of the summary. But we kind of know that that's not really how life works, right? that you can make a wise decision and bad things still happen because there's just so much that's out of our control and the world is messed up and things happen, right? You can make foolish decisions and sometimes good things happen. And that really drives us nuts, doesn't it? When we see people who are making bad decisions and yet things continue to work out for them, right? So Proverbs is kind of presenting these foundational principles as really black and white when we kind of understand that's not how the world works, but we're looking at the principles that underlie all this. Okay, so that's the little primer on Proverbs. Let's dive into this. If you see something on the screen that's underlined, that's your part, please read that aloud. The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works before his deeds of old. When there were no watery depths, I was given birth. When there were no springs overflowing with water, before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth, before he made the world, or its fields, or any of the dust of the earth. When he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep, when he gave the sea its boundaries so the waters would not overlap his command, overstep his command, and when he marked out the foundations of the earth, I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world and delighting in mankind. So Lady Wisdom is introducing herself to us and she says, I've been around from the beginning. In fact, everything that God made, he made using wisdom. When we look at creation, we see God's wisdom on display. It's not just an intellectual exercise. I like this quote from the Baker Encyclopedia on the Bible. They say the wisdom of God is thus creative, purposeful, and good. It is not merely the intellectual activity of God. It's not just about God knows all things. It's about God does what's best all the time, everything he does. And so the way that he created the world to function, there are systems in place. There's, you know, science. I love science because it helps us explore all those things about how God created the universe to function. And when you look at all that, you kind of go, man, whoever did this is wise because it's just amazing and it works. So if you think about God as the one who created all the stars, how many stars are there? Anyone want to take a stab? No one really knows. Here's the formula though. There are somewhere between 100 billion and 400 billion stars in the Milky Way galaxy. Okay, I know that's a broad range, but it's kind of hard to count. Just try it sometime. So 100 billion and 400 billion stars in the Milky Way, and there are billions of galaxies like ours. And God made all those stars? Are you kidding me? Like, this is wisdom on display. This is God applying his nature and his will into the world. Let's zoom in. Let's look at it at a closer level. You know about your fingerprints, right? Your fingerprints are all unique. You have different prints on every finger, and every person has different fingerprints. So the odds of two people having the same fingerprint and over 8 billion people in the world is 1 in 64 billion. Those are the chances. How can something so small be so diverse and varied? It's amazing. It's God's wisdom on display. Another system I think is really cool to look at in nature is the water cycle. So 95% of the water on Earth is in the oceans. There's another about 2% that is salt water that's not in the ocean. And so of all the water on the planet, only 2.5% of it is fresh water. And yet, life needs fresh water to exist and survive. Human beings and animals and plants, we need fresh water. So how do we get it? The water cycle, the evaporation from the ocean goes in. I'm not a scientist, but you know how this works. You took science in seventh grade, right? So, and it comes down as rain. This is the system that God built so there would be fresh water for life to exist on our planet. It's brilliant. You look at whoever designed that and you go, that's amazing. That's wisdom. That's God knowing and doing what's best. It's his nature and will expressed in his activity. It's like an ocean. God's wisdom is like an ocean. That's the metaphor we're going to use throughout this series, is that it's just so broad and deep and unfathomable. I mean, the greatest area of exploration for human beings now is not space. It's the ocean. Scientists believe there's still animals down there that we've never seen and never identified before. The ocean is unbelievable. Let me put it this way. The Pacific Ocean, if you could put the Pacific Ocean in a bowl, cut it off from the rest of the water on the planet, and you drained the Pacific Ocean 1 million gallons a day, how long would it take to empty that bowl, the Pacific Ocean? 500 billion years. Guys, that's a lot of water. That's big, right? That's unbelievable. Like, that's just the water in the ocean. That's kind of, we're going to look at God's wisdom like that. It's just so deep and rich and full. And that's where we're going. God created us as human beings to move towards godly wisdom, to know his nature and his will so that we can be empowered to know and do what's best. And so we are going to, through this series, we're going to be jumping on our little boat here and we're going to be sailing it toward the ocean of God's wisdom, because that's how we're made to function. God created us to function a certain way. And we're not like machines. We're not like a clock where it's real predictable and the gears all turn. If something breaks, you just replace it with a different part. We're not like that. Human beings are less predictable and messier. And we're kind of like a river system. So rivers don't always do the same thing. They flow in the same direction, but sometimes there's a dry season and they don't flow at all. Sometimes there's a flood season and they just go all over the place and they overflow their banks and cause problems. And sometimes people come along and they put a dam on a river and they create a lake. And so weather events can actually change the course of a river so that it doesn't take the same path anymore. And that's more like us, you know. We have dry seasons sometimes where we just don't feel like we're flowing at all. We have seasons where it seems like everything's out of control and we're overflowing our banks and we don't have any structure in our lives. And we have seasons where we put our own roadblocks in the way. We build a dam on our own river and just backs everything up and we're not moving in the direction of godly wisdom. But our goal is going to be to move towards this ocean of God's wisdom. It's deep and rich, and it's God's nature and will expressed, and it's for us. So why do I need it? Why do I really need wisdom? Can't I just wait until I get older? Isn't it like, if it's going to happen when I get older, I'll just wait. I'll be wise when I'm older. Don't you think the world would be a better place if more young people acted with wisdom? Would your school be a better place if more young people acted with wisdom, if they were empowered to know and do what's best? Would your school be a better place? Yeah. So there's no reason to wait. There's no reason to put this off. There's no reason to be passive about it, but we need to be active about it. Here's what Proverbs says happens when we choose to pursue wisdom. Chapter 3, verse 13. Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding, and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Those who hold her fast will be blessed. Now remember, Proverbs is presenting everything as kind of black and white, but it's the underlying foundation that's being communicated here is you were created to live by godly wisdom. And you're going to have to pursue it. You're going to have to go get it. It's not just going to happen because you survived another year. You're going to have to go get it. But if you go get it, if you can live by godly wisdom, you'll be healthy and productive, good relationships. You'll be living the life that you're created to live. That's why we need wisdom. So how do we get it then? Is it even possible if wisdom is like an ocean? Like could you consume the ocean? Like that's just too much. Or has God created a way for us? I think there's another quote from that same Baker Encyclopedia. The potential for human wisdom is rooted in the creation of mankind. Created by divine wisdom, human beings have within them the God-given capacity for wisdom. That God made us to be vessels of his wisdom. And so, yes, we can grow in wisdom. Yes, we can get a taste of what God has taught us through his nature and his will as we read about that in Scripture. And Scripture even gives us a starting place. This is Psalm 111:10 says, "And all who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise." So we even have a starting place. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's our subject for next week. Some of you have wondered, like, what does it mean to fear the Lord? The Bible talks about that a lot. And so we're going to dig into that next week. Hopefully you'll come back for that. But if we're supposed to grow in wisdom, God has given us this opportunity, he's invited us into it, then what are some steps that we can take? First, I think we need to think about our ability to really recognize wisdom when we see it. I think we just assume that we know wisdom when we see it, but if we need to grow in wisdom, then it's possible that we don't always even know it when we see it. Now, we think we're pretty good at knowing foolishness when we see it, don't we? Because you can look around and you can go, now that's just foolish. You hear a story, you see a show, you read a news report, and you go, that's just, what were they, how often do you just go, what were they thinking? You're on social media and you're like, what were they thinking? Who would post that? Why would you post that? We think we're pretty good at recognizing foolishness when we see it out in the world. But are we really good at recognizing godly wisdom? Can we tell if somebody is empowered to know and do what's best? More importantly, are we equipped to recognize this in the mirror? Can I look at my own life? Can I evaluate my own life and know if I'm being wise or foolish? Sometimes I look at my decisions, my habits, my relationships, and I go, I know what I'm supposed to do. I know what's best. I'm just not doing it. I know what's wise. I just need the courage to put it into practice, right? Sometimes we look at our habits, our relationships, our decisions that we have coming down the road, our calendars, and if we ask this question, what is the wise thing to do, we don't really know. We don't really know the wise thing to do. A lot of our decisions are made on instinct, on our gut, on our intuition, and we guess and we hope. That sometimes works out and sometimes it doesn't. Wouldn't it be better if we were empowered to know and do what's best? So if we're looking in the mirror, can I evaluate my own life and can I see where I've been wise and where I've been foolish? And can I ask this question more regularly? This is our question for the series. What is the wise thing to do? What is the wise thing to do? So when you think about your calendar, the way that you spend your time, you have a block of free time. You think about what is the wise thing to do? If I'm empowered to know and do what's best, sometimes the best thing for you to do is take a nap. You can write that down and say, my preacher told me I could take a nap. And you show that to your family this afternoon. No, sometimes that's the best thing to do. Sometimes the best thing to do is to get up and do something and be productive. But asking that question forces us to wrestle with this reality that we need to grow in wisdom. We don't always know what the best thing to do with our time is. Sometimes we just go with the flow of our culture and we do whatever our culture's doing. We don't know what's best in our relationships. Sometimes when we think about the people that we want better relationships with, that we have conflict with, or we just feel disconnected from, and we go, what's the wise thing to do in this relationship? Sometimes you know, and you're just not doing it. Sometimes you just don't know. You don't know what's best. You don't know what step to take. What if you could grow in wisdom? You could be empowered to know and do what's best. Would that improve your relationships? Of course it would. So this is the question that we want to ask so that we can grow in understanding God's will and ways. We are empowered to know and do what's best. We're gonna ask, what is the wise thing to do? What is the wise thing to do? So if you have a big decision coming up, this feels really obvious. You're like, obviously, I'm gonna pray about this. I'm gonna ask God for wisdom. But we make decisions all day long, don't we? Most of the time without even thinking about it. We don't even realize how many decisions we're making. You're making a decision right now about whether to tune me out or go to sleep or write some notes or we're making decisions all the time. And so those decisions come from habits of thinking. And so if we back up and we take some time to go, what is the wise thing to do when it comes to how I think about myself, my life, what's important to me, what matters most? What is the wise thing to do? And so I hope that you'll start to build this question into your life, maybe into the rhythms of your family, as you make decisions together, as you make plans, as you interact with each other. And that what it'll do is it'll continue to draw us. It'd be like jumping into a river that is on its way to the ocean. It's just gonna draw us into this river, this stream that's flowing towards the wisdom of God. That's what I want for you. That's what I want for me and my family. That's what I want for our church family. Because I'm convinced, if our church as a whole is empowered to know and do what's best, what's gonna come out of that? We're gonna be healthy and fruitful. Don't you think? If we're empowered to know and do what's best by godly wisdom, we're going to be healthy and fruitful. That's what I want for our church. That's what I want for our community. That's what I want for you and your family, healthy and fruitful. So let's pray about this together today. Would you stand? So maybe there's something specific on your heart this morning where you have a decision to make or you need some direction. I encourage you to pray for wisdom. James chapter 1 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. So we're commanded to pray and that God will give us wisdom. But maybe you just have this general desire to grow in wisdom. And we're going to take that desire to God this morning. We're going to ask him to grant us wisdom and to know that we have some steps to take because we grow by learning God's nature and will through his activity. So we have some steps to take to grow in wisdom, but we're going to ask God to empower us, to bless us, to move us down that road through his Holy Spirit. So let's take that prayer to the Father this morning. God, we thank you so much for inviting us into this ocean of your wisdom. That you would share that with us, God, is an incredible gift. And so my prayer is that we would be open to that we would take the steps we need to take to know your will and your nature more clearly so that we can see what's best. Would you do that in us and through us as we continue to move in this direction, Father? Would you enrich our understandings of our faith, of each other? And would you help us to see fruit come from our lives and from our witness to the world? We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks so much for being here. You have perfect attendance so far at church this year. Good job. God bless you. Go in peace. Be salt and light in a world that desperately needs Christ.